Log Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to week 11 of the NFL season, and we're back again with Football Garbage Time Podcast with senior staff writers Joey Libro and Ryan Whitfield. I'm Hudson Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. We got plenty to talk to you about today. All right. Joey, how you doing?
It was a bit of a boring Sunday with my Giants on a bye, but I'm doing good.
Well, it seems like they had a tough one at the end of last week. I'm sure that Ryan disagrees, but I thought there were some issues concerning whether there was a catch or not at the end of that game. That was a tough one. Ryan, how are you doing? You're getting ready jazzed for the game tonight?
I mean, if it wasn't a catch for Calvin Johnson and it wasn't a catch for Dez Bryant, then that certainly was not a catch last week.
I agree.
But I agree. But yeah, I'm ready for tonight. So it's always fun putting one up on Rex.
Right. So this will be an interesting game tonight because it'll be the first one without Julian Edelman. I don't think that's going to derail or change anything, but it'll be an interesting game, and we're going to get to that maybe if we have some time at the end of the podcast. But let me start with some of the big issues that we're going to be talking about today. First issue that we're going to talk about is Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler. What's better for the Denver Broncos? We're going to talk a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys. Then we're going to talk about these backup running backs that are just going to be swarming the NFL for Week 12. And then a couple of our picks for the future, AFC, NFC, and MVP so far this season. Let's get started with the first topic, and that's what's going on in Denver. With Peyton Manning racking up injuries in his ribs and foot, plus just being generally ineffective after throwing four INTs last week, the Broncos quickly ruled out Manning for Week 11, giving second-year quarterback Brock Osweiler his first start. Now, Osweiler came through for the Broncos, completing 20 of 27 passes for 250 yards and two touchdowns on his way to his first career win. But is this a sign of things to come, or is Peyton Manning the best option for the Denver Broncos moving forward? Joey, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is tough for me. I grew up watching Peyton. I was just a little kid. He was one of the two great quarterbacks I grew up watching, in Brady, there, Ryan. Osweiler had a really great game. I wouldn't call it great. A consistent game against Chicago. 250 yards, two touchdowns. They're already saying he's going to start against New England. So if he does the job, if he puts on a good game against a great New England team, I think they stick with him for the rest of the year. Peyton has been a turnover machine all year. This team, their defense is rock solid. Their run game is pretty good. So they could play a nice conservative offense, and they could go pretty deep in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Ryan, do you have any thoughts on that? You know, it's going to be your team. They're going to be playing next week. Are you happy to see Brock Osweiler under center, or you think that Peyton would be a scarier guy to see?
You know, I got to go the opposite route of Joey here and say that this is not a painful thing for me. This is not hard for me. This is paradise for me is what this is. You know, we'll start with the injury reports coming out on Peyton Manning. There was one ESPN writer, I forget who it was, but you can go back. It was about 2 years ago. He wrote an article basically explaining away every big game choke Peyton Manning's ever had as far as to go as one of his players was unable to make make a tackle on a pick six Manning threw because he'd gotten a fight with his girlfriend the night before as one of their receivers, and he'd gotten stabbed in the leg. So, you know, the ESPN excuse-making machine is out for Peyton Manning again. Brock Osweiler, you know, I don't know what he could be. He looked pretty good yesterday, and by that I mean it doesn't take 10 seconds for a 10-yard pass to come over the middle like it has for Peyton the last 2 years. And at the end of the day, Osweiler hasn't had the chance to, poo-poo down his leg like Manning does in all the big game situations. So, I think it's I think Osweiler gives him a better chance right now, as long as they can stay healthy on defense. And at the end of the day, it was just such a fitting end if this is the end for Peyton Manning for me. He's a nice enough guy. I have no issues with him personally, but the excuse-making everyone's always done for him, you know, people will remember him setting the passing yard record, and I'll remember that when he had a chance to do it against Indianapolis, he threw a pick six to end that game, and in the next game when he actually broke the record, he threw five completions, four picks, and less than 50 yards in the game he broke the record. So to Peyton, congrats on another regular season record. Too bad you could only win one big one your whole life.
Well, the expected ire from the Pats fan, I can understand that. I can tell you that several years ago I was up in Foxborough the last year that Peyton was actually playing for the Colts before he got injured and was kind of sidelined the whole year. And I can just say this, Pats fans weren't big fans of Peyton Manning. They certainly weren't big fans of him. So I totally understand that, and I expected that. But at the end of the day, I think the numbers actually do support Peyton Manning on a decline here. If you look at what he's done so far this year, and Joey mentioned this as well, he's a turnover machine, 17 interceptions in just 9 games. Now, let's put that in perspective. In 2014, he had 15 interceptions in the entire season. And in 2013, he had only 10. In fact, if you want to start comparing the numbers, he's only had one game this year with a passer rating over 100. In 2014, he had 9 of them, and in 2013, he had 10 of them. So that's a precipitous drop for a guy who has to be run, who has a lot of wood weapons at his disposal, with Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas there to receive the ball. And if you look at his yards per game, where he's seen a precipitous drop there from 2013, 342, 2014, 295, and this year just 242 per game. That is quite a drop off. I think that at this point in time, even if Peyton Manning is 100% healthy, it doesn't make sense for him to get back in it. I think that Brock Osweiler was drafted last year, or 2 years ago, I should say, in the second round given the Aaron Rodgers treatment. He was supposed to sit behind Peyton Manning for a year or two, learn the ropes, slowly get his feet under him, and then take the team to the next level and take over. And look what happened with Aaron Rodgers. He did exactly that with Brett Favre, and he's been fantastic ever since. Will Brock Osweiler be Aaron Rodgers? I don't want to say that, but certainly that was the plan. And Peyton Manning's injuries gives him a convenient out to take the exit stage left at this point. But I suspect a guy like Peyton won't want to end his career on 4 INTs and losing, and a pick six and losing and just being absolutely terrible and remembered as being absolutely terrible. Any final thoughts on that, Joey?
Yeah, just on the Peyton thing, whole plan ended on a 4-interception game. They reported that he wants to play in 2016, but I don't see any teams giving him a shot. I couldn't think of one team that would want a 40-year-old Peyton, broken down, can barely get out of the shower, Peyton playing for them. So I don't see him playing next year either.
Yeah, so that's an interesting report, because moments ago, Mike Kills from Denver 9 News actually came out and said that Peyton actually didn't say that, that someone had actually taken his statements out of context, and that he was quote-unquote incensed by the report that he was planning to play in 2016. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, or that enough people laughed at him that he decided that he should retract the statement, but
yeah.
Certainly there's a little bit of a question there whether he actually will come back in 2016 or not if he can't get healthy for this year. Okay, so it seems that it's likely that Brock Osweiler is going to remain the starter at least for Week 12. He may be a starter for until the rest of the year. It looks like we're at least all on board with the fact that Osweiler may be the guy and that Peyton Manning is on the downward slope here. All right, so turning on to the next topic, and that is the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Tony Romo has finally come back from a shoulder injury. He's now healthy. Dez Bryant is now close to 100% healthy. They found their running back and Darren McFadden for as long as he stays healthy. And even Terrence Williams gets a boost when Tony Romo is in the lineup. And don't forget Jason Witten, who's steady as anything. So now that the Dallas Cowboys are whole and they managed to pull off a win in Week 11, will they have the goods in order to bring this home and take over the NFC East? What do you think, Ryan?
To start off, not as good, does this division suck. And second of all, you know, I don't know if you guys watched First Take this morning, but now I'm going to forget his name, but the tongue bath given to the tongue bath given to the Cowboys this morning on First Take was quite impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that they have the most skill of any team in that division right now, but it's going to take a while to get them up and running. Dez is just barely getting back to full speed, and the Dolphins are another awful team that still has no direction and can't get it together. And The Cowboys won 24-14 yesterday, and seven of which was a pick six. So, you know, did they look better on offense than when they had Matt Castle and Brandon Whedon in there? Absolutely. But, you know, I think I could have gone out there and done a better job the last 7 weeks. So, you know, I think they're a better skilled team, but I think right now you have to pick the Giants just because of the little bit of lead they have on it. And I don't think the Eagles, you know, Redskins can't win away from home as much as they've made some improvements, and the Eagles are a disaster. So I give it to the Giants. Dallas, you know, Dallas plays the Panthers, the Packers, and the Bills late in the season coming up. Now, if the Bills are actually making a playoff push, you know, that'll be a big game that they'll be ready for. And then obviously the Panthers and the Packers speak for themselves. So that's three games easily they could lose right there. And when you're 3-7, now you're talking 6-10. You know, you couldn't even win the NFC South with that record last year.
Right, you are. So, Joey, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think your Giants are going to be able to hold out for the rest of the season, or do you think that the Cowboys are going to make a run at it?
I don't think Dallas can do it. They'll have to run the table. They'll have to win out, like Ryan mentioned. They still have Carolina this Thursday and Thanksgiving, and Packers, even the Jets, that's not a gimme game they have in December, and then the Bills late December. They'll have to win every single game to make the playoffs. That'll put them at 9-7, and maybe won't even put them in the playoffs, depending on how the Giants and Eagles do the rest of the year. I don't see the Eagles making any noise. They got blown out by Tampa. Jameis Winston made that defense look silly. So yeah, I don't think Dallas has any shot at turning it around. They'd have to go on a 7-game winning streak actually to do it. Romo, he looked a little rusty yesterday. 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. It was definitely better than Whedon Castle over the last 7 games, but it still won't be enough to put them over the hump.
Yeah, I tend to agree with the both of you. I do think that Dallas Cowboys do have the most talent right now on offense. And in large part because their offensive line is so good. But even then, you saw the vintage Tony Romo pick, that second pick in the red zone where he just kind of threw it up for grabs in the corner, not even into the end zone, like actually at the 1 or 2 yard line and got picked. I really do think that he'll get better. He's already a marked improvement over Castle and Whedon. But I certainly think that it's going to take a little bit. They're just so far behind that I can't imagine they're going to be able to pick up 2 games on the Giants. I just don't think that's going to happen. They split games with the Giants this season, so, I mean, I guess that won't make much of a difference. But I just don't see them catching up, seeing as how their schedules look equally challenging as compared to what the Giants have. And I think really what we're going to find out from the Cowboys is they're for real or not. If they're really going to make a push, they got to beat the Panthers. I mean, that's where it all starts.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if they beat the Panthers. I just think that's just going to be – I think their defense, the Panthers' defense is just too good. Cam Newton is playing at an elite level right now. He has that. He has some terrible receiving options out there and is really just making it happen. So I really would be surprised if – and on a short week, I really would be surprised if the Cowboys can get away with a win against Carolina. And that really basically would be the end of them if they lost to Carolina. That's my thoughts on that. Any last thoughts on that, Ryan, before we move on?
Yeah, just on your last point there, you know, I think that kind of tends to be the popular notion that they have to run the table. But I think people let the lore of the NFC East get in their minds too much. This division is not that – it's not the AFC Central where you just have teams beating up on each other and that's why the records are all in the middle. This is a division full of choking teams, and it's just who chokes the least. So – I think that even with the 5 wins in the books already, the Giants could easily go 7-9. I just think that at the end of the day, the Cowboys are going to give away 1 game they shouldn't, and then they have at least 2 or 3 hard games down that stretch.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I do think that Eli does play better late in season. I mean, he just tends to like to play under pressure or something, but I think that he does tend to step up later in the season, and I think that the Giants probably won't go worse than 3-3, putting them at 8-8, and I think that's going to be too much for the Cowboys to catch up to. Now, the other question, though, is that will the Cowboys actually make a wild card? I mean, the NFC is actually horrific right now, and 4-6 teams are all in the wild card hunt, strangely enough, and they're only essentially one game out of the wild card hunt. So what do you think about that, Joey? Do you think that the Cowboys have a chance to make a wild card game?
Again, I think it's going to be a little too tough for them to do it. Climbing out of a 3-7 hole, with they have six games left now, that's going to be a little. Minnesota is already locked in at that wild card spot, the first wild card spot, I think, or either them or Green Bay, depending on how the season ends.
Right.
Atlanta will get the South. Whoever wins the East, I don't think Cowboys will win the East. I think it's either us or Philly. And then out West, Arizona and Seattle are fighting for that division, but I think Arizona takes, and I think Seattle takes that last wild card spot.
And Ryan, any thoughts on the wild card prospects for the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they could get it, but I just am so trained that the Cowboys will find a way to mess up somewhere along the line.
Typical Cowboys. Well, if not, they'll find a way to mess up in the playoffs like they always do. So I don't think that'll be any concern that the Cowboys will have to worry about buying Super Bowl tickets this year. All right, moving on to our next topic. And this is going to be a little bit of fantasy football, but also real football. It's this huge influx of backup running backs coming into the NFL and being real impact players. We've already seen it happen on several teams. Chris Johnson, for one, was a backup to Andre Ellington at the beginning of the year, no longer. We have D'Angelo Williams, who stepped in for Le'Veon Bell, and we have Jeremy Langford, who actually stepped in for an injured Matt Forte, all of which have impacted their teams in positive ways so far this season. Now we have a whole bunch more, with Tevin Coleman stepping in for an injured Devontae Freeman, Javorius Buck Allen stepping in for an injured and end of the and actually out for the season, Justin Forsett with a broken right arm. We had Spencer Ware see some time in order to give Chekandrick West a break from an injured hamstring, and we saw Thomas Rawls just roll all over the teams and just unbelievable amount of rushing yards and yards after contact last night, taking the place of beast mode Marshawn Lynch, who is actually stepping out and getting a second opinion on something that may be sports hernia. So, with that all said, let's turn to you first, Joey. Of those second-string running backs, who do you think is going to have the biggest impact on their team in the 2015 season, and who do you think would be the best pickup for fantasy football players?
I think Rawls is going to definitely be the best pickup and have the biggest impact on the team. Seattle relies on the run game more than Atlanta or Baltimore or whoever else. So I think Rawls will have the bigger impact. He had a good game against San Francisco yesterday. What was it, 209 yards on 30 carries? The other guys, Ware, Coleman, and Allen, they haven't really proven anything outside of just like backup yards. Usual guy gets tired, he come in, rush, nice 3-yard rush. That's it. Ware, he only has 130 career rushing yards in 3 years in the league. But Rawls, before the San Francisco game, had 380 yards rushing on the year already, and I think he's gets the starting job ahead of Marshawn Lynch since he's out.
He certainly was good, and he's certainly been good subbing in for Marshawn Lynch. This is the second time, I believe, he's subbed in for Marshawn Lynch. He's been terrific both times. Ryan, what are your thoughts? Which one of these backup running backs are going to make the biggest impact on their team for the remainder of the 2015 season, and which would you want to pick up as a fantasy football player?
I think Thomas Rawls is obviously the best option out there. However, I can't think of – I'm in five leagues this year, and I think Thomas Rawls could pick himself 5 weeks ago in all of them. So from a fantasy perspective, if Rawls is available, go get him. I highly doubt he's going to be available. I like Allen, given the fact that the Ravens now have to deal with Matt Schaub with Flacco out for the year. Steve Smith is out for the year. I mean, it just comes down to, I mean, what else do they have? What else are they going to be able to do there besides run the ball and hopefully throw it to Crockett Gilmore to help out one of my fantasy teams? But I would say from a fantasy perspective, he's the best that you'll find available. Tevin Coleman's interesting, but it's a concussion, so I wouldn't expect forgetting his name. I wouldn't forget.
Devontae Freeman. Yeah, Devontae Freeman.
Devontae Freeman to miss more than, a game at most. And, that was really Coleman's job to lose at the beginning of the year, and he lost to Freeman once already. So, he's going to have to come in and really light the world on fire to hold that position. So, Tevin Coleman's one of those guys I took the bait on in, a lot of fantasy leagues. I took Coleman in the late rounds thinking that he was going to be somebody to turn it on in the second half, and, he couldn't hold on to the ball and couldn't hold on to the job.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that also Tevin Coleman, though, did have that injury, the rib injury, which kind of took him out, so that was part of it. I mean, before that, in the first game, although he was splitting carries, he did average about 4 yards a carry in week one, and he did manage to get 32 yards and a TD before getting his injury in week two. I think he is a dynamic talent, but I do think that he doesn't really fit the role as well as Devontae Freeman does. Devontae Freeman, surprisingly, has been a great one-cut-and-run guy, and that's perfect for that Atlanta Falcons offense. So I think, and I do agree that with a concussion, it could be a problem that he might just be back next week. Although concussions can be tricky, and we're not sure if he'll clear on time in order to play next week. But I suspect he'll clear at some point this year, which would mean Tevin Coleman is going to have limited impact. Because I agree, I don't think he's going to be so great that he's going to supplant Freeman at this point. I actually really, really like, and I do like Rawls as well. And I say in a vacuum, if there was no other considerations, Thomas Rawls is my favorite guy to make an impact here. But, we don't know yet whether Marshawn Lynch is going to be out. He's played through injury before. He's played less than 100% before. And when he does that, Rawls gets basically 3 to 4 touches a game, and that's not going to mean much as far as impact. Now, I actually like Javorius Buck Allen the best. And that's the reason why I say that is actually because of the fact that he hasn't had a chance yet to really prove himself. We haven't seen him carry the ball all the way yet, so the upside is there. He is great at catching the ball as well, and Matt Schaub is definitely going to need that. He's going to need a safety valve to bail out on frequently, and I think Javorius Allen is just going to get, just on volume alone, is going to have the biggest impact. Now, Baltimore may not win another game this year. That's entirely possible, but I think that as far as impact players stepping in, I think Javorius Allen may be all they have, other than maybe Crockett Gilmore. But but as soon as Crockett Gilmore gets 10 yards away from Schaub, Schaub will throw an INT. So, honestly, I think that he will be the biggest impact on his team for the rest of 2015. Joey, any last thoughts on any of the secondary running backs?
I think I'm still going to stick with Rawls. The sports hernia is pretty serious. They said if it is a sports hernia, then he'll be out for the regular season. So I like Rawls still.
Yep. Yeah, and I agree that he definitely is the biggest talent of the group of players that we've talked about so far. So let's get to our Jump to Snap segment and talk about a couple of our picks going into the future and where we are right now. So AFC champ, Ryan, tell me, who's your AFC champ pick right now? And I can't imagine who it could be. Who is it?
I'm obviously still sticking Patriots. The Edelman injury hurts, but he should be back. At the end of the year, if you judge by the Dez Bryant time frame, and given the stature of how strong of a person Edelman is, and the toughness, I don't see that injury really derailing them. And the predictable AFC, the Bengals are crap themselves in back-to-back primetime games, and the Broncos are getting injured, and you got Ward and Tlaib pulling in penalties nonstop, and they have a quarterback controversy now. So I don't see anybody toppling the Patriots, and when they're at home in Gillette in January, they're not beatable.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Joey, your thoughts on AFC champ? So at this point,
yeah, I've got to agree with Ryan. It's got to be the Patriots. They got a pretty easy route to the Super Bowl, in my opinion. Like you said, the Bengals, they crapped themselves in the last two primetime games they played in. I'm not really a big Andy Dalton fan to begin with, but Denver, we just talked about them. They're going to have basically a rookie quarterback in Brock Osweiler leading them into the playoffs if Peyton's a no-go. So I like the Patriots' odds at making it to the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, and I unfortunately have to agree with both of you. I mean, it just doesn't seem like that anybody's going to stop the Gronk U tour that's going on right now. I think it feels to me that that Brady is out for blood, and he's going to keep throwing the ball, and he's very successful at it. And quite frankly, I don't care who gets injured. I think that Ryan actually said this a couple weeks ago. I don't care who gets injured on that team if it's not Tom Brady or Gronkowski, if it's not one of those two, or Belichick, you know. I mean, those are the three. If those three guys are healthy and on the field and Belichick's still game planning, I just don't see who on the AFC side can really contest. So let's turn to the other side, NFC. Joey, let's start with you. Who do you think is going to take the NFC?
I'm actually going to stray from what I've done the past couple of times. I picked the Packers as my NFC champ the last two podcasts. But I'm switching mm-hmm. to the Panthers this time. Mm-hmm. Cam mm-hmm. Newton has been on fire. They're 10-0. Who'd they beat this weekend? It's slipping my mind.
They've beaten everybody, so it almost doesn't matter at
everybody.
This point. But this last weekend, they killed the Redskins.
Yeah, they killed the Redskins this weekend. Cam with 5 touchdowns. I think he should keep Jensen, by the way. I think Carolina also has a pretty easy route to the Super Bowl. Nobody really in the NFC stands out, except Green Bay did until they lost those 3 games in a row. They did well against Minnesota, but I don't know if I trust that team anymore. So I pick Carolina for my NFC camp.
Okay, Ryan, your pick for NFC.
Yeah, I'm jumping ship, too. I'm going Panthers. I think I've given it 3 different answers every time. I think I'm like Arizona, Green Bay, and South Carolina. So
yep.
I'm just following the flavor of the week. But, they get Charles Johnson back this week. I mean, what that team's been doing right now, they only have probably the most prolific pass rusher who's coming off the IR to return this week. So I don't know how you pick against the Panthers. I will disagree with Joey, though. I think Cam needs to worry a little bit more about playing football than dancing around. And end up being making comparisons to Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers' touchdown celebration, 3 seconds compared to 30.
Fair point. But he gets plenty of airtime. I am going to go against the grain, actually, on both of you there and go with the Cardinals. And I'll tell you why. It's because Carson Palmer has been just unstoppable lately. I don't know what it is. Last night I thought, well, we finally see the weakness here in the offense. There, 2 turnovers, but he rallied the troops. He came up big. He threw all those touchdowns, really just made it ahead. And then the very impressive last drive of the game to get him in field goal range in order to win against the Bengals. You know, the Bengals are much maligned. They can't do it in prime time, but they are still a really good team. I really do think the Cardinals have a good chance of taking the NFC. All right, we're down to the end here, so just give me your MVP of the season so far, Ryan.
I mean, it's hard to pick it at this point. I would say Tom Brady now. I know he's got more weapons, but the numbers are better. But it's going to come down to, at the end of the day, whoever wins more. So if they go 15-1 and Carolina goes 16-0, it'll go to Newton.
Okay. And Joey, your MVP?
I think it's Brady. No matter if they finish undefeated or not, or depending on what the Panthers do, I think it's Brady all the way. He's on pace for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. So that's a ridiculous stat line there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Carson Palmer, and I was just talking about him. I just think that he's really all the Cardinals have right now. The defense is good. They've been exposed the last couple of times out, but I do think that Carson Palmer keeps that rolling with not 100% in the backfield. I mean, Chris Johnson is not really a stellar talent, I don't think. All right, we're done. We're at the end of another episode of Football Garbage Time Podcast. So, Ryan, give us your Twitter handle so we can follow you.
Yeah, at Ryan Whitfield NE, and follow me tonight so you can see me take down Rexy all night.
All right. And Joey, your Twitter handle?
I'm at Joey Libro.
All right, and follow us at FB Garbage Time, and we are done. And until next time, enjoy the rest of the NFL week.